Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Faith Debate is brought to us by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow. Dynamic Living Solutions. If you don't own a purifier, you are a purifier. And Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? You know, a number of years ago, there was a show on television, it's still on television reruns. There's a TV show that became famous years ago for being a show about nothing. Yeah, which mic are you on? Say something.
Nothing.
Okay, you're on that one. There
okay.
we go.
Okay.
That's what today's show is.
It's about nothing.
Today's edition of the Faith Debate is...
It's almost a Buddhist show in that sense.
it's modeled after Seinfeld. Was Seinfeld the Buddhist television
yeah,
show?
Yeah, uh-oh.
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe.
But there won't be any racism.
But this is a show, and now if you've been listening to this show for the last 2+ years in its various incarnations and forms,
yeah.
You have heard shows before with just Jonathan and I on them.
Okay.
But we always have some prepared material, whether it be things from the email box or some topic in the news or things that we kind of touch base beforehand and say, hey, I think it'd be good for us to talk about this. I don't know that we've really ever walked in and turned on the mics and said, hey, let's do a show. About what? I don't know. Let's just do a show. So, what's on your mind this morning, John?
Well, now I'm looking at this paper that you wrote,
by the way,
about church history.
By the way, Jonathan Schweitzer is the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, meeting at Crestwood Middle School is that the Ballinger Creek area?
What's in
that
the Ballinger Creek area, just off of New Design Road, just over the highways from Walmart. That's what I always say.
Now, if you show up... odds are, 50-50 that Jonathan will actually preach?
No. No, actually, the odds are literally like 5 out of 6 times I'll preach. It just happens that if you're Troy Skinner showing up, that the odds are it's going to be 50-50.
Yeah, I've visited Jonathan's church, I think it's 8 times.
Yes.
And I think I've heard him preach twice.
Twice. So actually, the odds are 1 out of 4 times coming to church that if you're Troy Skinner that you'll hear me preach.
Yeah. Anyway, they were good both times, by the way. So
let me ask you, when you took church history, did you find it very motivating?
In what way? What do you mean?
I don't know. When I studied church history, I always came away motivated like wow, this thing is alive. You know, this idea of the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's been reacting, responding, you know, as God's hand in history to whatever was going on at the time in history. And so I see it responding, you know, back in the Middle Ages, you know, or previous to that, you know, in the 300s or 400s, and then into the Enlightenment years, you know, the Gutenberg printing press, you know, and colonialism. And I come away and I think to myself, well, let me look around and see what's going on now in the world. And what is it that God wants us to do now? And it, I don't know, I come away thinking to myself, man, now's the time to be alive as a Christian. Right now in history, you know, all these different things that they worked through as a church, and all the life and the great things that happened and the negative things that happened, we're living in the middle of that right now. Is that something that relates at all to something that you've...
Probably not as passionate as you just described it, but I will say one of the things whenever I read something that's
too
about
much caffeine
church history
or
something, you know, I definitely feel more connected. Like there's this historical narrative that ties the church together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I think that the things that are true about the church today have always been true. And if you read history, you see that that's the case. You
know,
when the church is doing something right, the things that are behind that make it right are the same things that have made it right all along.
Yeah.
You know, it
feels
open.
Very contemporary.
And
I'm reading about things like 1,000 years ago, and it feels contemporary to today because the types of issues they're dealing with, it's human. It's, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I could see that, you know, being a problem today.
And the things that the church has done that, you know, you're not so proud of in church history.
Yeah.
And there's things in the church today that we're not proud of.
Right? Yeah.
You know, with whether it be televangelists or other church leaders falling into, you know, horrible
sin. Right,
and things like that. those things have been around forever too.
Yeah, that's always been happening.
Whenever, and it seems to me, this is going to sound, boy, I'm going to sound so much like a Protestant right
okay,
now.
Okay, here we go. Here like we a go. Protestant?
I'm going to sound very much like a Protestant.
As opposed to Catholic.
Well, right.
Well, I'll try to sound Catholic okay. after you sound like a Protestant.
But it seems to
just
me
for kicks.
That whenever the church has behaved badly,
yeah,
or even in their attempts to do the right thing, when those things haven't turned out the way that they thought they would, they ended up being in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's because they weren't rooted in the written word of God. They
right.
They didn't strain it through that to see if it would hold up under biblical scrutiny or not.
Right. When the church quit doing what they were clearly taught to do by Christ and the apostles, when the church quits doing that, it's funny how the church ends up looking really ugly, you know, all through history. But when the church stays true to what they were called to do, you know, they're not going off and waging war. They're preaching the gospel, taking care of the poor. They're, you know, they're making disciples and calling kings and people in power to account, you know, for their greed, you know, power hungry selfishness and all that other kind of thing.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah,
just popped
yeah.
into my head just
okay,
now.
Here
hear you talk. All right,
yep.
We're talking about, and you know me, off the air I say this more than I've probably ever said it on the air, but I have a tendency to a flaw. I don't think it's a good thing necessarily. It's the way my mind has a tendency to wander.
But your wife loves it about it, you.
Yeah, well, I hope so. She's not here to say otherwise, so yes, that's true. But I have a tendency to try to tie things together into a bigger picture and simplify things.
Right.
I have a hard time hanging on to a whole bunch of different facets of things. I lose track of them.
So you need a big picture.
So I try to tie it together into something that helps me have a central idea.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you just said, you know, the—
A construct.
Yeah. So as a central idea—
Yeah.
You know, when the church is rooted in the Word and obeying
right.
Christ and stuff, the church does good things.
Yeah.
But now a multifaceted version of that, because who is the church? We're the church.
Yeah.
In case you're listening for the first time, I'm a professing Christian, Jonathan's a professing Christian, and both of us would agree that professing Christians are the church.
Right.
Right? So we're the church.
Yeah.
We're part of the many facets.
One of many.
Of what is the church.
Yeah.
So looking at a facet, instead of looking at this overarching thing, saying, yeah, when the church, in this overarching way,
right.
is being true to the Word, then they're following God's call and God's leading, and they're doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah.
What about you and me? Heck, forget you. What about me? What about me? How do
we'll
I know?
We'll call this the Troy Show.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Since we have no real plan, we'll just, you know.
The Seinfeld Show is all about Jerry Seinfeld. This show can be all about me.
Troy Skinner.
So how am I supposed to know when I'm following God's lead, when I'm doing what He has planned for me, when I'm in His will?
How are you supposed to know?
How do I know?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you my textbook answer. If anybody would ever ask me this question, including you, I would say the way to know that is, number one, if you have become a born-again believer, Christ is living in your heart, the Holy Spirit is living in you. Two, you have confessed your sin, and you've been willing to confess your sin. Those two things bring you to a place of sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You add to that mix a study of the Word of God, you know, that is directed by a cry in your heart to know God better, to know the fullness of who God is better. And you study the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, and then you say, Holy Spirit, lead me today. And what happens is the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance everything that God has taught you and applies it in the situations of life as you go through your day. And so there's a both and connection. You confess your sin, you know, you accept Him as Lord, you study the Word of God, and then you say, Holy Spirit, you lead me. Holy Spirit, you enlighten the Word of God and help me to apply it to my life. In that context, then you're able to, oftentimes, He only shines a light on the next couple steps. Other times, He gives us, you know, a glimpse at, you know, 5-10 years in the future, and you just know that God, you know, wants you to do this or to do that. But in putting it all together, He gives us, you know, He leads us according to what we need and how we need it. Does that answer your question?
All right, I guess in a vague, overarching way, which is which is good, I guess.
What Troy Skinner needs to do is listen to whatever his wife tells him to do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to use, I don't want, Not that I can't think of one, although right now I'm having a George Bush moment and I can't think of any negatives about myself. Let's take the leadership of, I think it's Waynesboro Bible Church in Kansas.
Okay.
You familiar with them?
Yes.
They're the ones that go and protest at all the military funerals.
Right.
Say that God hates homosexuals and all that sort of stuff.
Uh-oh.
There's a negative. I'm going to use a positive personal example here in a second. There's a negative example, right, of there's somebody that would probably say that they're following God's lead. But I would say that they're probably not.
Right.
So what are they doing wrong?
No, you tell me what they're doing wrong. What does the Word of God say about the way that we're supposed to communicate the truth? We're supposed to communicate with grace and truth. And they would what they do is they think that they have an exact like if something happens, it happened because of this directly. And so they feel like God, I think I'm right about this. They feel like God has specifically told them this is like these people died because this happened in American society, or these people died because there's this sin at large in American society. Am I right? And so what they're doing is they're preaching they're trying to apply scripture directly. Like I do this. In fact, I do what they do, except I don't feel like I have confidence that I have the exact precise, connection between the Word of God and what's going on in the United States. I feel like there are ways that the United States is paying for its sin in the world. I feel like there are ways that that I pay for sin in my own life, and there's connections. But I'm not always exactly sure that there's a direct connection between my sin or the nation's sin and something that happened, And so that being the case, these guys are going around saying specifically that homosexuality is the cause of people dying over in Iraq. And I would say that there's war on the planet in general, and that it is true that I think it's likely that the Islamic world has the power that it has to hurt people in the United States in some measure because we in the United States have not thrown ourselves on the mercy of God. So, I mean, at some level, I think you would probably agree with that. But you're not confident enough of that you're going to go out and you're going to connect a dot and say this, therefore that. Am I right?
Yeah, probably.
So the question is, why do you think they're so confident? Maybe they pray more than you do. Maybe they study the Word of God more than you do. Maybe they don't either of those things, and they just have this vague impression, that that's the thing. Because in Romans chapter 2, it talks about homosexuality. I mean, basically this leads the whole discussion in the direction of homosexuality. I'm not sure if you want to go there or not. But it drives—
Can you do it in 60 seconds?
It drives the it drives the discussion into wondering whether or not— whether or not homosexuality at large in a society will lead to certain consequences.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a homosexuality. Like, you could take, I forget.
But that's the issue that motivates
those guys. Was it
somewhere
outside of Buffalo?
Am I right?
I don't know. There's some abortion clinic where a guy said that, God told him to go and kill the people at the abortion clinic.
Okay.
Right? And that was, he was feeling the leading of the Spirit, supposedly. And he felt, and he must have been praying and meditating on it, but he wasn't right. Or was he?
Why do you think he was wrong? No, I would argue that he was wrong. And I have rationales that I think come from Scripture. Why do you think he was wrong?
To commit murder is wrong. Now, if he was looking at it as a capital punishment issue, like somebody needs to go and take care of these people for murdering all these unborn children, then he was outside his authority because the sword has been the authority of the sword has been given to the state,
right?
Not to us as individuals,
right? So the point is, you studied the Word. Yeah, I feel like he just hasn't read his Bible. He's a little bit less clear about what Scripture teaches.
And that
was
would
that
be,
60 seconds or less?
I think it was. That's a record. Yeah. And I guess the same could probably be said true of the Waynesboro Bible Church. They haven't read their scriptures enough.
I think so. Ultimately, I think
I would
that's
agree
the
with
issue.
That.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's take. Let's get back to me.
So now that, let's get back to you, which, by the way, he's got a nice tie on today. He's got a nice gray pinstripe suit. Very nice. aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I'm looking like I earn way more than I do.
Right, right, which is the key.
It's important, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's important to look good. Right? As Billy Crystal used to say, our Saturday Night Live, Fernando Lamas or whatever, it's better to look good than to feel good, my friend.
That's right. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. So, all right, let's take this show.
Yes.
All right, we think that it's a good thing to be doing this show.
Okay. Why?
Is it? have we tested it by the Spirit?
By the Spirit.
I had, you know, cornflakes for breakfast. Was that the right thing for me to have for breakfast? Did I test that by the Spirit?
Right. No, this is good. Yeah. I've felt for some time through prayer, through whatever, through my study of the Word of God, through my involvement in the church and various things that there's a major move in the United States to be unwilling to have the kinds of discussions that we have on this radio show. And I felt like that unwillingness ends up being this massive barrier to people hearing perspectives about Christ that have been extremely valuable to me and that I feel like have made all the difference in my own life. And if people are unwilling to hear something, then, you know, clearly that's got to be bad for them. So as I prayed about it, I prayed about, you know, the clear teaching of Scripture that says that, you know, I should go out and preach the gospel. I read about how Christ engaged people in the public square, you know, and he didn't have these quiet, nice, you know, gentle conversations. But oftentimes, you know, he confronted issues head on in the public square. I think to myself, I think that we should have a public square like that as well. And so, you know, my point is that through prayer, through asking the Lord to lead in studying, meditating on the Word of God, I feel like we came to a place of saying a show like this would be very beneficial for, you know, people that live in the Frederick area.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. That's the voice of Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel here in town. I'm Troy Skinner, acting typically as host and moderator or whatever you want to call it, but this week, I guess.
Today, we're just.
It's a show about nothing.
Two buds.
Yeah, just hanging out. I had a thought and it just escaped me. I hate when that happens.
What did it have to do with what I just said?
Yeah, it did. What were you just saying?
Well, because I'm talking about where the show comes from, praying about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let's do some on-air show prep.
Okay, here we go.
What are some things that you think this show over the next 6 months should do?
Yeah.
Who are some guests, some topics? What are some things we should go after?
This is fun. I think we should like break out some coffee and some cookies and enjoy this time together.
We try, Jonathan and I do, try to get together and do this sort of thing where, you know, typically it's he and Carol, his wife, will come over to our house and we'll talk about the show and what's going well and what's not and ways you can improve it and different topics and guests we can have on. But life gets in the way sometimes. We don't do that as often as we could or should. And particularly with your run for public office this past fall, that made it even tougher.
Yeah, for a period of time.
So this is the first chance we've had in a while to have this conversation. Our wives
aren't
here. Yeah,
but we had a great time together on New Year's Eve.
That's true.
We got together and we talked about some goals in a more personal way. And I just have to say that was very enjoyable. Fun. We actually sang some songs. It was an interesting
little
time.
And you
played
the guitar. Yeah, that started... we're going off of our subject here of brainstorming.
Just briefly,
aside, if you will. I think it was 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years ago. Somebody that my wife and I went to church with, they had it as a tradition for them as a couple anyway on New Year's Eve to do a devotional time, to have, you know, praise and worship, singing, and to pray, and then to actually actively pray for specific things in the coming year.
Yeah.
And they would write them down.
Yeah.
Or no, I don't know if they wrote them down. I think they would just pray for things in the coming year or whatever, and then they would thank God for his work in their lives the previous year.
Yeah.
Well, then, so...
So you actually wrote them down.
So we had them over to our house, and they introduced us to their way of how they do this.
Yeah.
And we still, to some level, model what we do after that initial experience.
Yeah.
One of the things we changed, my wife changed this, was she started writing them down.
Yeah.
Because she journals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And looking back in her journals, she can see where God answered prayers that sometimes months, years later, you forget you were praying for that.
Yeah.
And God doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Right, right.
So
not to mention how encouraging it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that next year we did it on our own, just as a family.
Yeah.
And we wrote them all down.
Yeah.
And so then last year.
You did it again.
Was the third year we did it, but it was the first year we had a chance to compare.
The year before.
The year before from what we wrote down.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it was stunning.
Yeah.
How, and some of the requests were so specific.
Right.
And they came to pass. And wow, what a boost to your faith. And some of them are things that, well, one of the things is my daughter wanted a dog.
Yeah.
And she got a dog by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, if you had asked me in January of that year if she was going to get a dog, I would have said, no, never.
Wow.
So from my my worldly perspective, that was an amazing
thing.
But
as a parent, you let her pray for it.
Right.
And she ended up getting it.
And we had some control in saying that, obviously.
Sure,
but there
right.
were other things on
yeah.
there. We prayed for our son to have a healing of his heart.
That was huge.
And his heart condition, which...
By the way, if you'd like a copy of that, we could email a copy of that show. We talked about that on the show.
Yeah, last summer, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it came to pass.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then the next year we did it again. We wrote, and this was last year, we wrote them all down. The thing we didn't do very well is we were a little vague. They were more
last year.
Yeah, they were a little. Looking back now,
you
I can realize
they're
a little more general. It was hard to know. Okay, yeah, God kind of answered that prayer, but I'm not sure because it wasn't.
Why do you think you went more vague?
And we might have done that again this year. Now that I'm thinking about it, I had a chance.
It requires a little bit more time to be more specific. Doesn't
absolutely.
It? I think that's the thing.
Absolutely.
When we get together with our wives, we just get to talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way it seems to me, for those who are taking notes, I'm sure people are taking notes listening. If you want to try this next year, if you want to do it now and
we're starting a movement.
Pretend. It seems
to
me.
A Frederick Faith Debate movement.
It seems to me the way to do this is to have a good, I don't know, couple of hours of praise and worship.
Oh. Oh.
Now, if you are gifted in playing the piano or guitar or whatever, and you can do it on your own, that's fine. My wife and I don't play an instrument, so we just get out our favorite, praise and worship music on CD and pop it in, and we don't just listen to it. I mean, we're singing. Or we're dancing. I can't dance at all, but I'm dancing. I can't sing at all, but I'm singing.
You should try that on a Sunday morning sometime, by the way.
And spoken like a true charismatic pastor.
That's right. That's right.
So... but I mean, after 2 hours of that, you feel like you're kind of in a totally different place.
Okay.
And then you do some real heartfelt prayer.
Yeah.
Like long-winded prayer. You know what I mean?
Where okay.
it's just everybody's praying. And
okay.
It's, and it's long. It's an hour.
Okay.
Or more.
Yeah.
Hour and a half of like really praying.
You know, in some places they go all night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then when you're done praying.
Yeah.
Then you stop and say, okay, what are the things we just prayed about? What were the things that were on our heart?
Interesting.
Let's write them down. Let's make the list.
See, we had a good time this past time,
but we didn't quite do that. No, and I think it was good.
I needed to hear that vision pitch to me. And
so
then
next year we'll try
it.
To do it that way. Yeah. You see if you don't agree.
Yeah, if we're still friends by then.
That's
so
true.
All that to say.
Was that one of our prayer requests?
That's right, right. Lord.
That we would remain friends
help us to
for
not
an entire
drive
year.
Each other crazy. So coming back to the next couple of months with the show.
Yeah.
How much time we got, by the way?
About 3 minutes.
I spoke with the guy over at Kol Ami and the rabbi over there, and they represent a different branch of Judaism, a less conservative branch of Judaism, significantly so. And so anyways, I feel like that would be, again, a perspective that in our society, a lot of people would benefit from hearing Christianity line up opposite to it, and how do they line up opposite, and what is the nature of how it lines up.
Okay, that'd be good. Is there a Hindu congregation in Frederick County that you know of? Because I don't think we haven't had a Hindu representative on the show, and I don't know if there is one.
You know what, it seems like there's one down in Germantown that is Hindu. Is Hinduism as popular in the States as like Buddhism is? Buddhism seems to be pretty popular.
Yeah, probably not, but Hinduism is bigger worldwide than Buddhism, isn't it?
It is in India, in China, because Buddhism was kind of an offshoot of that. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think number one
is Christianity.
Yeah.
About a third of the world professes to be Christian anyway. Then I think number two is Islam, right?
Right.
And number three, I think, is Hindu.
Well, Islam's the fastest growing. Yeah, and then Buddhism, because Buddhism is an offshoot.
Yeah.
But so anyway. I mean, there's so many people over in India, in China, that it's just, you know.
Now, we've talked about some of the, you know, quote unquote Christian fringe groups.
Yeah,
but we haven't had them on the show. We haven't had a Jehovah's Witness representative on the show.
And a Mormon.
Haven't had a Mormon or a Latter-day Saint on the show. Seventh-day Adventist. I don't think we've had that on the show, have we?
Do we want to get into names?
Different churches?
Or no, people? Like of people.
Okay.
Paul Smith.
Ah, alderman.
He's a Mormon. He's an alderman. He's involved in issues here in, you know, the area. There is a guy from the Church of the Seventh-day Adventists that I spoke with when I was doing phone calls for election stuff, that I bet he would love to come on the show with us, specifically to try to convince us that Saturday is the day that we should worship.
That'd be fascinating.
I bet he would love to have that discussion.
And, you know, I'd be curious to hear the argument.
Yeah. Well, he's got a whole bunch of them.
Because, I'm open to hearing the argument, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an issue that I would, you know, live and die on.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear what he has to say.
Of course, they're very strong on that.
The growth movement.
So I need to call him. Growth?
The church growth movement would be good. Maybe we can get the pastor at Frederick Christian Fellowship on.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear if he would.
Because that would be, I think, interesting.
Definitely.
What are some others? We've had a couple of guests on recently that had been on our want list for a while. We wanted to have an agnostic.
Yes.
And we wanted to have an atheist.
Yeah, we got him.
And we got him.
Look at that.
So that was...
Did we pray for him a year ago? No. You know, I got to say this. The thing about putting together those prayer requests is, you know, because I'm big on setting goals, you know, and thinking through goals and that kind of thing, is that it turned it into a totally different perspective. It's like I'm taking my goal directly to God. I'm calling it a prayer request, and I'm saying, I'd like to see this happen in the next year.
Right.
It's very, very cool. You know, orientation.
Well, one of my goals is to end the show on time. We got to wrap it up.
Here
Thanks
we go.
To All Shred, Putman Plumbing and Heating, and Dynamic Living Solutions for sponsoring the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Thank you, John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Thank you,
I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks for listening. God bless.